Hello, everybody, and welcome to the DestroProf.com video games podcast. As always, this podcast is brought to you by a fuck ton of sponsors, but today we are brought to you by Gamefly. From now until December 21st, they're having a big end-of-the-world sale. Every 48 hours, they will be having a sale, a huge selection of PC titles on sale for up to 75% off. Wow. So, from today, December 18th to December 19th, the titles that are currently on sale are Grand Theft Auto for Grand Theft Auto 3 for $2.50, Mass Effect 3 for $12, Battlefield 3 for $14, Assassin's Creed Brotherhood for $5, Total War Shogun 2 for $7.50, Left 4 Dead, the original, for $5, Batman Arkham City Game of the Year Edition for $15, Grand Theft Auto San Andreas for $3.75, and Max Payne 3 for $15. All these sales start at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, which I believe is 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time when we record. Well, our time scale differences. And those sales last for 48 hours. So check them out, Gamefly.com. Click the link at the bottom of the page or any of the banners on the site for Gamefly. Speaking of sales, we have our own right now. Head over to DestroProducts.com/store and check that shit out. We are going to be moving shops at some point in the future. Yeah, and we need to sell a lot. We need to sell a bunch of the shit that we have in our store right now so we can actually pay our artists. You know, working in the slave pits at Desktop Prods is not easy.
Yeah, and it helps if you make at least a little bit of money doing it.
Yeah. You know, just, well, at least more money than having the guards throw pennies at you. Yeah, seriously, I hire some dicks. But anyway, yeah. So, we have a bunch of products in our store. We've actually added a bit more products so we can start producing, so we can hopefully make some more money. Anyway, the cost of everything that's in the store right now is just production costs and the commission costs for the artists. We ourselves are getting no money from this. This is all going toward the people who make this stuff. So check it out, DestroProducts.com/store, and hopefully buy some shit. And for our new store, we are still looking for some new designs and art stuff for our shirts and other products that we'll be putting in there. So please, if you have some art you think we would like, please send it to bovion@dustoprods.com or post it in the t-shirt design thread on the forums. If you have a design idea, we'd love to hear from you, but unfortunately we won't be able to pay you. If you supply us with art, then we will be able to pay you based on how well those products sell. So yeah. Hopefully you bring something. Please. We need art. Anywho, I'm your host, the Dead Man. Joining me today, we have Bovion.
Hello.
So yeah, video games.
Video games. I'm kind of glad we're recording this later than usual, because it gave me a whole bunch more games to talk about.
Yeah, I'm just tired, man. I don't know why. I woke up an hour ago.
Yeah. Ugh. I've been tired recently just because I have, for the past little while, been a creature of the nightlife.
Yeah, for the past little while, I've been horribly procrastinating on writing articles.
I'll talk to you about that later. Anyways, video games.
Yeah, video games. So, I'll go first. Fuck it, I don't care. So, I guess the big thing I've been playing has been Street Fighter Cross Mega Man.
Well, how is that other than Mega Man looks really, really chubby and old?
It's Mega Man. It's pretty much Mega Man. That's it. That's all I can really say about it.
Okay.
You guys ever play old school Mega Man?
Yeah.
It's that. But the robots are Street Fighters.
Okay.
Yeah. And just like old school Mega Man, I fucking suck at it.
That would make sense. You are pretty terrible at Mega Man.
Oh yeah, I am absolutely horrible. But I did manage to make it to one of the bosses. I made it to Rolento. And so he hit me with a stick and threw grenades at me.
And you died?
Yes, a lot. Yeah, so there are the 8 Robot Masters, which I guess they're the 8 World Warriors, World Fighters, or whatever. So there is Ryu, Chun-Li, Rolento, Rose, Dhalsim, some guy I never heard of, and a couple others. Fuck, I can't remember them all right now, but there are 8 of them. And yeah, oh man. The way that they actually like set up. So the way they set up things, I'm not actually sure if there is a story. Like, I don't remember the actual intro to the game. I just remember I hit the go button and then I started fighting. Yeah. It's old school Mega Man. Like, you slide, you jump, you can charge up your shots, you fire them. Like, as you move along the screen, it will, like, slowly crawl across to go show you something else. And yeah, it's just really hard. Like, the one stage I remember, like, really right now is... So, I drop down into a pit, and I'm sitting on a platform. There is an enemy, so, like, down the bottom left corner, there's an enemy with some weird little red platform below him. And then, to my right, where I actually need to go, there is a big barrier blocked off by a skull shooting lasers up and down. So, I drop down and take out the skull. And then the red platform on the floor suddenly explodes and starts creating a cascading wave of red lasers coming toward me.
That sounds terrible, but a lot like Mega Man.
Yes, and then I move into the next area where there is a different red platform. I start running, and then it starts launching lasers. But there's also a turret above me shooting at me. There are enemies down there, and then there's also the red skull with the barrier, which is now above me, so then I have to jump up into the path of bullets to try to shoot it down. If I at any point hit that thing, then I get bounced back for a second and get shot into the lasers. Say, kids, it's Mega Man. That's pretty much all I can say. It's Mega Man ass Mega Man.
Well, I'm going to be talking lots about old school games, but, like, definitely the old school games and things that are styled after them have such a challenge factor that kids these days are so lucky to not have to have, and they just get things handed to them by, like, Call of Duty and shit.
Yeah, but so since I've been playing a lot on the SNES, on the ZSNES emulator, I had the key binding set up a certain way. I have it so that like the arrow keys are move, obviously, and then X and C are your B and A. I'm not sure which one is which because old school Nintendo button layouts are kind of weird to me. Like a lot of the times it's like B is accept and jump and A is shoot.
Yeah, actually, I'm going to be talking about that because I was playing some actual SNES.
Yeah, so the way I had it set up was it was the WASD keys to move, K to shoot, and K to jump, L to shoot, and it just felt wrong playing like that.
A lot of emulators, if you're using a keyboard for your emulator, it just always feels wrong. It will never feel right.
No, like that specific key layout felt wrong. The WASDA and K and L, like the arrow keys and X and C, that feels pretty right. But one thing that is good about this game is it has support for a USB NES gamepad.
Awesome.
So if you have a USB old school style gamepad, you're able to plug it in and just be able to use it like you would. On the config document, it just said it's like key bindings can be changed in game by going in game, pausing and hitting F2. And it said controller layouts are predetermined, so you just plug it in and it has native controller support, so there's that.
I love native controller support, like where you don't have to set it up button by button or do any
nice
stupid shit like that.
Yeah, it's nice. I've been looking at getting a like USB SNES controller for a while now for like doing like SNES gameplay videos. I play that for you. And plus, I just kind of want to have a SNES gamepad laying around.
Actually, I got to tell you about the coolest SNES system I saw on the weekend.
Oh.
I went to this flea market, and there's this place that they have a handheld SNES.
A handheld SNES.
A handheld SNES. It's basically, it looks like the gamepad, only bigger. It's got the controls on either side of the screen, as you would normally assume it would be. And it's got the big spot for the cartridge there, and the screen is it's a decent size. I'd say it's maybe PSP sized.
Okay. Well, actually, that would does it play the games like their native resolution? Because if it stretched that shit out, that would look horrible.
From what I saw, it plays them in native resolution.
Okay.
It doesn't stretch, but I could be wrong. I didn't get a very good close look at it. I just sort of saw it with a demo screen on.
Okay. Yeah, like a PSP screen with a SNES game, that would look absolutely horrible.
To clarify, I did say roughly.
Roughly. Yeah, roughly, but still just
might not be same resolution, like it could be, you know, as wide but taller or as tall but not as wide.
Yeah, which is the exact same thing you just said.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I just thinking of the actual, just thinking of the actual dimensions of a PSP screen.
Yeah, no, that'd be pretty terrible for SNES games.
That'd be absolutely horrible. Yeah, but anyway, Mega Man vs. Street Fighter Cross Mega Man. It's really good. You guys should definitely check it out. It's available free on the Capcom community website. Send it over to capcom-unity.com, and you can get that for free.
Awesome.
Now I just need to find a order list for what bosses to fight in, what order to fight the bosses in.
Because yeah, that matters so much in Mega Man, because if you beat one boss, you get a tool that helps you beat another boss, so if you try and face the wrong ones first, you're going to be pretty much fucked.
Yeah, like... Yeah, like, So I also started playing Mega Man X2. And so... Yeah, I've been using the Mega Man homepage to actually go and look at all that. Actually look at the boss order to fight in. Which really sucks, because... Like, in Mega Man X1, when I was playing through that, I was going to the Mega Man homepage a lot. I actually talked about it quite a bit. I actually looked up stuff in, like, during gameplay to look up stuff on the Mega Man homepage. Specifically weaknesses. But yeah, in that one, there are bosses whose weakness is just your standard arm cannon. Your standard X-Buster. But then in Mega Man X2, the first enemy, like the boss where you have to fight in, the first enemy, his weakness is not the X-Buster.
Right.
Yeah, first fight Wheel Gator, use the spike cutter. It's like, I don't have the spike cutter. I only have the X-Buster. What do I do? What the fuck do I do? See, I ended up having to fight that Gator like 4 times. But like by the 4th time, it was actually pretty easy, because you can kind of just learn his attack patterns, like because they all attack the exact same way over and over again, and you just get into the rhythm of how he attacks and stuff, and you're able to pretty much just wail on him. Which is what I ended up doing by the end. I was able to kick his ass pretty well, like, near the end. But then moving on to Bubble Crab and his stage, like, I couldn't even get to him because the stage kept kicking my ass.
So Bubble Crab, challenging.
Yes. But I just need to play through it a couple more times, and then I'll be able to go beat him, and then I'll move on to the next guy, and the next guy, and the next guy, and then I will get to the final boss and just say fuck this and look at the ending on the video and look at the ending on YouTube like I did for the ending of Mega Man X. Which is why I posted a "Let someone else play that for you."
Good title, by the way. Yeah, I thought that was brilliant.
But I just for the ending of Mega Man X, I just went and stole someone else's footage, and then just put that up there because I still wanted to show you guys the ending, but I couldn't get to it because Sigma's last form is hard. Like, fighting his dog and fighting Sigma's force form are pretty easy. It's, again, just memorizing attack patterns, which I pretty much got down. Like, actually, Sigma's first form is really easy because there's a strategy to use. You just jump up the left wall a lot, and then he will start doing, like, a dash thing where he dashes to the left wall and the right wall, and, like, he starts going up. The second he dashes off the left wall for the second time, you just drop down and shoot him. And then that'll hit him, and then he will just do his another drop-down thing. You stay in the left corner. And when he's, like, doing the jump down thing, he won't actually be able to hit you. Then as soon as he lands, just shoot him again. So as long as you're using the X-Buster, you're able to do, like, 2 damage, like, every cycle like that. So also, if you're using the X-Buster, don't bother charging. Even a charge shot just does 1 damage to him. The thing that does 2 damage is the electric spark, but it's a lot slower than the X-Buster, so I didn't end up using it a lot. I thought my lip is split open.
Ow.
Yeah, it's been split open for like a week.
That's gotta suck.
Yeah. Anyway, Mega Man X2. It's Mega Man X. It's Mega Man X. But another one.
And just like Mega Man X, it kicked your ass so hard it split your lip open.
Yes. Pretty much. Because those games are so fun. Like, I will say, like, to the hills, and I'll, like, scream to the hills the back that these games are, like, fucking ridiculous, but they're still fun.
Yeah, lots of things are really ridiculous and hard, but definitely fun.
Yeah, like Super Meat Boy. Or Dust Force.
I still haven't played Super Meat Boy.
You really should. It's really fun. And it has controller support.
And I own it!
Yeah, a game is so fun. It's absolutely retarded in difficulty, but it's really fun. And I'm on the last boss. I just need to defeat Dr. Fetus. I just keep jumping into saw blades. Because fucking saw blades.
Fucking saw blades.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on. I also tried some Duke Nukem 3D.
How was that?
Not very good.
No, it's not. The only impressive thing about those games is I believe it was the first first-person shooter to have a true mirror in it.
Yeah, that was pretty much it. But the thing is, like, it plays pretty much like Doom. And, you know, I like Doom. But the key bindings are terrible.
Hmm.
Yeah, so it's like up, down to move forward and back. Left and right to actually turn yourself. Then you have to, like, hold Alt and use the left right arrow keys to strafe. Control is shoot, shift is sprint. There's like four other buttons on the keyboard that you have to be able to have your hands on at all times. Like space is jump, and it's just like I need to like dislocate every bone in my hand to play it properly.
I actually I also played Duke Nukem 3D recently, and it was well not recently. It was quite a while ago actually, but it was pretty much like that.
Yeah, I'm the only reason I got it because it was free on Good Old Games. I don't believe it is free anymore. You can check, but I don't know. Yeah, I just saw the game. It was free, so I decided, yeah, fuck it, why not? And it was the Atomic Edition, too, so it was, like, the special edition thing. But so I'm just thinking that at some point I need to actually just get a... I just need to get that thing that I showed you and just, like, get a... like a little USB thing that lets me use my Xbox 360 controller on my computer so I can actually play Duke Nukem 3D properly with a controller.
Yeah, I've got the USB wireless receiver for the Xbox 360 controller, and I enjoy having the controller support.
Yeah, it'd be nice.
There are some challenges. As a warning, a lot of sellers will tell you it doesn't work with Windows 7. It does, but it's a challenge to make it work with Windows 7.
Okay.
You'll end up having to go to some forum and get a guide on how to do it.
Yeah, I'd probably end up doing that anyway. But yeah, first I'm getting the SNES controller.
Yeah, that'd be a good choice.
Yeah. Maybe I'd be able to use the SNES controller as like map it to those other games. I want to try that. I want to try using a SNES controller
on like everything
on a current generation game.
Well, let's see. The total you have a D-pad, you have X, Y, A, and B, and you have the L and R bumpers. So that's a total of 6 buttons and a D-pad.
Yeah. So, yeah, just the thing that would be a problem is actually, so like with a modern game with like a camera control stuff, I'd be able to use the D-pad as movement, the face buttons as camera.
You know what? You could be a terrible Call of Duty player, at least. Bare minimum.
Yeah, like, I'd be able to move around, I'd be able to aim at guys, I'd be able to shoot, but I wouldn't be able to reload, switch weapons, or pick up a new weapon.
Exactly, so you'd be limited to aiming and shooting, and yeah, you'd be a terrible Call of Duty player. Actually, I once played Call of Duty 4 with a Guitar Hero controller.
I'd like to see that guy who plays all those like old school like NES games with a dance pad to try to play Call of Duty with a dance pad.
I think it'd be difficult. Like the Rock Band controller is pretty hard. Like, okay, I'm sure you're familiar with a Guitar Hero controller, right?
Yeah.
So basically, you had to have your hand on the whammy bar at all times because pushing the whammy bar in turned you left, like. Aimed your camera left, letting all the way out made you turn right, lifting slowly up aimed you up, lifting slowly down aimed you down. The strum bar was forward and backwards, and then of course you've got the ABXY all on the actual neck of the guitar. And then to shoot, you have to quickly pull up the neck of the guitar. And you can only hip fire, and as soon as you do that, you also start aiming up, so all you can do is spray and pray.
Wait, wouldn't you have been able to use that fifth button as a shooting thing?
No, it's already bound.
Oh, it's already bound.
It's already bound, because I was doing it on Xbox 360, not on PC, so I couldn't rebind the buttons. It's already bound to, I think, right bumper.
Well, actually, you can rebind the button. You can rebind the buttons. There's options to do that.
Oh, I probably could have. So I probably could have added aim down sight.
Yeah, or you could have made that one shoot.
Yeah, something like that. Maybe I should try it again someday and
and film it.
Yeah, with both a camera and actually filming my gameplay. Maybe I'll do that sometime soon.
Yeah, we just need to do that. We need to get that on the site. Oh, God. Anyway. See, I do Duke Nukem 3D. It's not very good. Anyway, moving on. I've been playing a bunch of Portal 2.
I was actually playing that recently.
It's still really good. Are you liking it?
It's always really good.
Yeah. It was my game of the year for 2011.
Yeah, I believe you were the only one to not say Skyrim.
Yeah, Skyrim was my number four.
Yeah, and honestly, looking back, Portal 2 probably deserved it more than Skyrim. It's just, Skyrim was Elder Scrolls, and it got so much attention because of that, and including mine, because I was so excited that there was another Elder Scrolls game.
But I wasn't, so I was able to judge it from a non-fanboy perspective.
Yeah, you were able to be objective out of it.
I wasn't able to be objective about it, because there's no objectivity in criticism.
That's true. You were able to be closer to objective.
I was able to be a bit more level-headed about it, and not just, oh my god,
Although notably, I have gotten more gameplay hours out of Skyrim than Portal 2, but I just think Portal 2... did a lot as a game.
Yeah, there's just kind of a bit more, like, in terms of scale. Like, with Portal, it's quality. It's like it's quality versus quantity type of thing.
Yeah.
Like, with Skyrim, it has just a huge... It has a, like, plethora of shit to do in it. But not all of it's exactly very polished or, like, handles well.
And, like, I've spent way more hours playing Skyrim, but I've spent a lot of hours doing the same shit in Skyrim.
Yeah. It's pretty much just walk to a place, then yell at stuff, then leave.
In Portal 2, I don't spend a lot of time doing the same shit. Like, every test is different. If you go back for co-op, every person you play with, you're going to co-op differently with them.
Yeah, I still need to beat co-op. Like, I was playing it with a Nameless one a while ago, and we were actually doing pretty well. Like, we made it through, I think, the first test chamber and like the first set of test chambers and the first half of the second one.
Yeah, well, we should do co-op videos, because I want to do more co-op videos, and I've got some planned. So, and I get my capture card this Christmas, so
yeah, I have it on PC.
Oh, you have it on PC. Damn you.
Yeah, well, I have money soon, and I will be able to probably get some variation of Xbox Live and get Portal 2.
Yeah, but I'm not sure if you have a game on PC if you should waste the money buying it on Xbox, because like it's so much more expensive to own games on Xbox.
Yeah, true, but like on PC I don't really have... My setup is not really recording ready, I guess. Like, some games may be able to record pretty well, but Portal 2 would not be one of them.
Right.
So I just need to upgrade my power supply and my graphics card.
Actually, a quick question for you. You're running a NVIDIA card, right?
Yes.
Did you get the updated software? It just came out, I think, yesterday.
Not yet, no.
There is updated firmware for it, and it's made my video card run better.
Yeah, just my video card isn't great to begin with, so I do need to upgrade drastically.
Yeah.
But in order to upgrade to what I actually want to upgrade to, I need a new power supply. Because my power supply doesn't have a PCI 6-pin connector to it.
Right.
And most new graphics cards require a PCI 6-pin connector. But I found a new graphics card and I found a new power supply, which you can find at tackerdirect.ca, click the button or any of the banners on the site. I just need the money for it.
Yeah.
Which is a bit. $260 for everything.
But well, that's not bad, considering you're getting a power supply, too.
Yeah, and I got a free copy of Assassin's Creed 3.
Well, that is pretty awesome.
And my thing is, like, 2 gigs of video RAM and fans in it. It's GTX 650.
Yeah, I think that's somewhat above mine.
Yeah.
Obviously, mine's like a $35 video card, but it's actually really good for its price. But anyways, moving on.
Yeah, so moving on. Also playing some Psychonauts. On Psychonauts. PC. Yeah, it was part of the indie bundle, and my laptop couldn't run it, so now that I have the big PC, I'm just playing Psychonauts, and it's not very good with the PC controls.
It's not, eh? I think I've got that one too, because I think I got it on an indie bundle.
Yeah, it was part of one of the indie bundles. But anyway, yeah, it's so you use a mouse to control the camera. It's where is it to move, and it's like shift to lock onto things, but you can only lock onto things like half of the time. Then it's shift to jump, and then QE and the right mouse button to use your powers and stuff. And yeah, right now I'm in what's the guy's name? I'm in the painter's world, the guy who, like the painter matador guy.
Okay.
I'm in his world, and I'm fighting El Tigre, trying to get his queen. And yeah, I just like in the console version of the game though, I played that a lot. I was just able to dodge out of the way and pretty much beat him without getting hit, or at least getting hit like less than 3 times. In this one, I can barely get him to half health.
So is it difficulty with the controls?
Yeah, pretty much. It's yeah, like I said, it's a matter of locking on, because like in order to lock on, you need to actually have your character physically facing the direction that you want to lock onto the character. The character's lock onto. Then when you hold that button, you have to shake the mouse a bit to actually get him to focus on him. But then by the time you do that, he's already lunging at you.
That sounds gross. Yeah, like as a control setup, it sounds terrible.
Yeah, it doesn't feel that great at all. And, like, the platforming isn't that great, too, because, like I said, you have to use the mouse to control the thing, so... And it's weird, because sometimes when you jump, the camera will, like, just pan down all of a sudden for some reason, and then you actually have to move the mouse... You have to move the mouse around in weird ways, because I'm not entirely sure, like, what direction it works well with something else. And it... Yeah, it's just... It's not a very good PC port. The game was made for console.
Does it have controller support?
Yes, it does.
Okay, well, that pretty much saves it in my mind, because then I can play it with better controls.
It's coming soon. Psychonauts being played with a SNES gamepad. Yeah. But that game, despite like controller issues aside, it's still the game I remember it being. Which is a fantastic game.
It's still a good, enjoyable game for you.
Yeah, but just a really weird thing. The in-game graphics look better than the pre-rendered graphics.
That's always weird.
Yeah, every time we cut to a cutscene, it just looks grainy as fuck. Like the color palette has been like washed out. Everything's been stretched out to a weird resolution. All the characters have like some weird film grain over them. But then as you go into gameplay, everything's absolutely great.
Yeah, I think that tends to be an issue of people trying too hard in the cutscenes to get realism out of it.
But here's the thing. This is Psychonauts.
It's not exactly going for realism.
No, it's not. Not in the least. This is a game where you have a character who has pretty much no nose, wears goggles that glow, has psychic powers, and everyone else looks like a cartoon character. Like, the bully's hair is bigger than his body. His neck is smaller than my forearm.
So there's absolutely no need to be having graininess in this.
Absolutely none whatsoever. The main antagonist looks like a brown piece of candy corn.
Candy corn.
At one point, you have to climb a tower of meat to go stop a dentist in a shower cap with a metal arm from ripping kids' brains out of their nose with sneezing powder. To build an army of psychic tanks.
Okay, if nothing else, you've convinced me that this game is fucking amazing.
It's a fantastic game. It's got some technical issues, but it is... It's all atmosphere. Yeah. Psychonauts. It's still a good game, but... PC controls leave much to be desired. But anyway, then finally, I played some VVVVVV. VVVVVVVV.
I didn't know you pronounced the full V. I thought you just went V.
No, it's V, 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 V. So there are six characters in the game, and all six of the characters, their name starts with V.
Okay.
So that's why it's called V, 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 V. Yeah, that game is still fun, and it's still really hard. Because here's the thing. You can't jump.
No jumping?
No, it is a 2D platformer on it, and you can't jump.
That sounds, yeah, difficult.
Yeah, but here's the thing. So instead of jumping, you flip the gravity.
Oh, okay.
And you can only flip gravity once you've made contact with another surface. So you can't, like, run to the middle of a room that has, like, no platform in it and then just start flipping gravity, like, back and forth, and just running across, like, air, essentially.
So you'd have to run, hit a wall, and then flip gravity so that you're walking on the wall.
Well, you can only flip gravity on the Y-axis. You can't flip it on the X-axis. So you can only be walking on either the floor or the ceiling.
Okay.
So if you're, say, running along, and then you flip like you're running along the ground, and you flip gravity, and then you end up, like, going into a pit, you just keep falling until you hit something.
Okay.
Then once you hit something, you can then flip the gravity again. But everything that isn't the floor or a platform kills you in one hit. And I do mean everything.
Yeah, timing jumps can be hard enough with platforming games. Timing gravity flips, that's got to be a bitch.
Yeah, and, well, since I'm on a new system, I actually had to restart the game, which it's really fun. It's got really great music. It's got really great, like, old school art style to it, where everything is just one, like, standard, like, everything is just, like, kind of a block of color, and then it switches colors each frame. And, the world doesn't actually move, it's just, right, this is a screen. This is a screen. This is your world. Move to the edge of the screen. This is your screen. This is a different world. It's a entirely different color. So there's that going for it. And yeah, there's this one area that really pisses me off whenever I do it. So you're running along on the ceiling. The floor is covered in spikes. There's a pit down the middle. There's like a little strip of pit that goes down the middle. And just above that pit, there's a thing of spikes. So what you have to do is you have to run along, and then as you're running, you flip gravity so you fall down the pit. But then once you go down the pit, there are spikes down there. Like in the next frame, there is an incline on each side of the pit with spikes in it. And then in the middle of it, there are just three spikes just sitting there with spikes going in both directions. And then once you get past that, when you get down to the bottom, there are a bunch more spikes except for one little area in the middle. So what you have to do is you have to find a way to, like, maneuver your way down that hole, and then dodge the spikes in the middle, and then get yourself back to the middle before you get to the next screen, and then flip yourself back up, avoid the spikes in the middle while avoiding the spikes on either side, and then try to remember which side you came down on, and then launch, and then, like, try to angle yourself so that you come out on that side of the spikes that are above the pit.
That sounds ridiculous.
It really is. Like, it's lucky that they have a checkpoint on either side of that pit.
Yeah, that seems like it'd be kind of necessary.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah, the game is just kind of a Metroidvania-style thing. So what you were doing was you were like, running along with your friends, like, in space. And then something happened. Like, your ship crashed or something. So then you all jump into a teleporter. But unfortunately, while the ship was crashing, something went wrong with the teleporter. So you were all teleported to different areas of the world. So then what you have to do is you have to track down your missing crew members. And then once you do, you have to control them while controlling your main guy.
So they can't do anything themselves. They're completely reliant on you.
Yeah, they're completely reliant on you. So what you have to do is you have to... So the guys will only follow you when your feet are on the ground. If your feet are on the ceiling, they won't move. And so what you have to do is... you maneuver yourself throughout a, like, maze of traps and stuff while on the ceiling, and then you have to time your flips so that the enemy, so that your friends run through the traps at the right rate, dodging ones when necessary. Yeah, like, as soon as your feet leave the ground, they stop moving. And so it is just a bizarre game to play when you're trying to, like, maneuver, when you're trying to, like, carefully maneuver your way through a bunch of traps while trying to escort a friend. Because your friends are idiots.
Of course they are.
Yeah. Like, there's one bit where I had to do where there were three platforms. They were, like, not connected by anything. And they just, like, they're just moving in weird orders. So what you do is you had to flip upside down, run along the bottoms of the platforms to get to a specific area. And then once you're in that area, you then have to time your flip so that your friend runs onto the platforms in the right order so that he can get up to the top. And then you have to, like, go run along the platforms upside down again, then flip yourself, and then run along them so that they're right side up. And if you let the platform that you're on reach the top of whatever, either it's top or the bottom of the place, depending on which way you're standing on, you die.
Wonderful.
Yeah, this game's a beast, but I love it. It's fun. Yeah. So finally, I've been playing a lot of Cave Story Plus.
And how is that?
Speaking of Metroidvania. Yeah, it's pretty much all just, all right, so you went to this area, and you couldn't really do anything, then you go to this other area, then you turn on something, and then you go to, you go back to that area, they're able to access more areas, then you go into a boss fight. Like, there's one boss fight you can actually skip out on by saying, so the enemy asks, like, well, you want to fight me? You can say no, and then he just leaves.
That's a wonderful option.
Yeah, and then the guy, he bursts into the room going, oh yeah! So the story of it, from what I can gather, is you are some soldier from the surface world who's lost his memory, and then you end up in this realm of the, you end up in like the Mimiga village, which are these weird rabbit people. And there's some evil doctor who uses a witch and a living lunchbox to try to capture them all and do science on them. And basically you're just going through everything and trying to save the this one girl who was kidnapped by mistake. Yeah, Kazuya, I believe her name is. Or Kamiya or something. It's something that starts with a K and an A. Yeah, she gets kidnapped in place of some girl called Sue. And so you have to try to get to the doctor and save her. And you do this with a bunch of guns. Which are weird. Which are weird because the guns level up, but you don't. So like when you kill certain enemies, when you kill some enemies, they will drop these little glowing triangles. You pick them up, and then your gun gains experience points from it. And then as your gun levels up, the gun gets more powerful and starts shooting more. Like the main gun on level one, you fire it once, it fires off one little tick thing. Nothing really important. You level up to two, it fires off two of those and fires with a greater range. Get to three, it fires off a brick of energy. Just a brick roughly the size of you, just fires out of your gun at a much greater range. But anytime you get hit, your gun loses experience.
Alright.
So, yeah, and some enemies drop health. So there, you get into a situation where you have full health and a level 3 gun. And get to the point where you have full health and a level 1 gun.
That would be a really shitty situation to get into.
Yes, and I've gotten into that situation multiple times with the current boss I'm fighting, which is a giant frog. Who fires... I don't know... Who fires the shit you find in lava lamps out of his mouth at you. And it could also summon frogs from the ceiling.
But yeah, like being like, I've still got full health, but my gun is a piece of shit that won't really do anything for me has got to be a tricky situation.
Yeah, and I have 3 guns. So I have I have a rocket launcher, and I have a flamethrower. Well, not really a flamethrower, it's a flame baller. It fires out a bouncing ball that's on fire. And the main gun is pretty much what I've been using, because it's the easiest to use. But the thing with the frog is, I have no... Like, the damage on him is real weird, because what you have to do is, when he starts firing out the weird lava lamps, you have to jump up and shoot him in the face. But sometimes the hits either don't register, or register that they aren't hitting his face, even though I see that they're hitting his face.
That's terrible.
Yeah. And it really sucks because this isn't an optional boss. Like, there are some bosses that are optional, like that one who you say you don't want to fight you when he just leaves, which coincidentally enough is this frog. Like the lunch, his name, he was a lunchbox, and then Misery, who's like a witch working for the doctor, she does some magic to him and turn him into a giant frog. So now I have to beat him to move on at all, and I just can't.
I still find that hilarious, though. Hey, you want to fight? No? Okay.
Yeah, that's actually what he does. Like, he was like, oh, okay, and then flies away. He just puts his arm up into the, into the air and just lifts off. I'm like, okay, thanks, bro. And I just leave. Yeah, this game, it's kind of like, for everything that I've heard, it's kind of the king of indie games right now. I can definitely see why. It's a fun game. It's got really good art style. It's all like 16-bit looking thing. Well, not 16-bit. I don't know. It's pixelated, but it's kind of highly detailed pixelated.
Okay. I would call it 16-bit, but yeah. I haven't seen it, so. But from your description, I'd say 16-bit.
Yeah, it's a really great game, and well, it is. So it's on Steam and on 3DS. Well, I'm sorry, I never give a shit for money, but it's also freeware. Like, the original game is still available for free. So if you can still check out this game, play it, and then if you want like an updated version or you just want to support the guy who made it, you can actually go and buy it, which is nice.
Which and, I did.
Yeah, and with the buying of it, it does come with you get a graphical update. I'm pretty sure you get more content too. But this is a game you guys should definitely check out if you're into like platformers and Metroidvania style games. Because I really am, and this game is definitely one of those, and it's fucking awesome. Excuse me. Anyway, that is what I've been playing. Bobby, what have you been playing?
All right, I've got a few things to talk about. I got into some NES and SNES games recently.
Okay.
Because I actually had access to a NES and a SNES for a night. So what did I play? On the SNES, just played Super Mario World.
Oh, yeah, I played that game too just recently. That game, I'm pretty sure, is actually the first video game I've ever played.
Yeah, it's pretty difficult.
Yeah.
The one thing I did is, right at the very beginning, you're given an option of left or right, and there's levels you have to do the left and levels you have to do the right. Mm-hmm. Right has you straight progress quicker, but if you go to the left, after you beat one level, you get to the yellow switch. The yellow switch is probably the most useful thing on Yoshi's Island, which is the first area you're in.
Yeah, and actually, the level that's on the left is actually Yoshi's Island 1.
Yeah, that's Yoshi's Island 1, and on the right is Yoshi's Island 2. So you can skip straight to Yoshi's Island 2.
Yeah, but don't.
Don't, because you want the yellow switch, because the yellow switch adds a whole bunch of blocks to the later levels.
So it gives you something to run across, and it also gives you some possibilities to get more coins and items.
Yeah, which coins and items are great.
Yeah, it's fucking Mario. Of course coins and items are great.
I was two playing it with Kaz, and I gotta say, she's a lot better at it than me. Most of the time, our progression consisted of me failing at a level and then her beating it. Not all the time, though. Just most of the time. In fact, I think twice I got a game over and she had to give me lives.
Oh, man, that's gotta suck.
So that was fun. So yeah, moving on from the SNES, the NES. Let's see, what did I play on that? I played some Super Mario Brothers 2.
Okay.
I liked how the game mechanics were different in it. Like, it's not exactly like Mario.
Yeah, that's the one where, like, you're pulling turnips out of the ground and throwing it at transvestites, right?
Yeah, it's the one that they cop out by making it a dream.
Yeah.
It's the only one where Princess Peach is useful. Actually, Princess Toadstool, because back then they hadn't called her Peach yet.
Yeah.
And
that always confuses me, because, like, even today I hear people calling her Princess Toadstool instead of Princess Peach.
Technically, her name is Princess Toadstool, and I think it's her nickname is Peach.
I'm just going to call her that, because that's what I grew up with.
Well, I always knew Princess Toadstool, because I always played the original Mario games. But anyways, I like the different game mechanics, although sometimes they're frustrating. Those fucking masks, though. You take their key and then they follow you through rooms. This one room, I had this great experience of, like, you have to climb up to grab the key and then the door is down more. I grab the key, and then instead of climbing down the room because one of the masks was following me, I just jumped. And I just happened to land on the one platform that avoids you hitting spikes and dying. Pure dumb luck there. But yeah, she's like, the mask is chasing me. And I was falling for like a good minute and a half.
Yeah, just leap of faith. You just jump off, there it is. You hit a button so you hear an eagle, like you hear an eagle cry.
Yeah. So yeah, Super Mario Brothers 2. It still gets frustratingly hard, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on. One game I want to actually... Duck Hunt. I had to play Duck Hunt, and playing this while I'm older, when I was a kid, it always seemed really, really hard as a game.
Really? I just put the gun right on the TV, and I won every time.
I never did that. That's cheating.
So? Video games have cheats.
Anyways, so if you're legitimately playing, it always seemed harder as a kid, because other arcade shooters I was good at, but that one I wasn't, and I realized the main difference is that it's the only video game shooting game with a peripheral that really actually uses good marksmanship skills to make you good. Like, as soon as I stopped thinking of it as an arcade shooter, I'm like, I'm going to act like I'm actually firing a gun. I started getting, like, fucking perfect all the time.
Yeah, the last time I played that was at Anime North, actually. They had Duck Hunt there, and I sucked at it.
Yeah, like... And, yeah, that's the one thing I must say for that game. It's the only game I've ever played with a pistol peripheral where the actual elements of being a good marksman will actually improve your gameplay. And I tried a few different things to test that out, and I can most definitely say the best way to shoot the light gun in Duck Hunt is as you should fire a real pistol.
Okay.
And I'm just so impressed by that, and I'm always impressed by how simple it is, how simple the mechanics of the light gun are. And it kind of beats all other arcade shooters in the fact that it's got that element of realism. But then again, holding a pistol properly for a lot of rounds of Duck Hunt, it gets fucking tiring.
Yeah, I can imagine.
That goddamn dog. I could be going perfect for 13 rounds in a row. I miss one on round 14, sitting there fucking laughing at me.
Yeah. There should be like a ROM hack that lets you shoot him.
There should. That should be on the Game Genie.
Yes. Like, let you shoot the dog.
Yeah, I always wanted to shoot the dog. In fact, when I was a kid, I got so frustrated trying to shoot the dog so many times that I would end up wasting my 3 shots for the next duck. Just because I'm spamming on the fucking trigger trying to shoot the dog.
Fucking dog.
Dog's an asshole, man.
Yeah, he is.
Anyways, I think that's it for the NES and SNES.
Okay, nothing modern?
No. I'm moving on to modern stuff.
Okay.
So let's go to PC. Metro 2033, I've gone back to that.
Okay, how is that game? Like, I have it on Xbox 360 and I haven't played it yet. I don't know why yet, though.
I like it. Yeah, there are some parts of it that are a bit generic. The one thing I gotta say is the mouth syncing is terrible. Absolutely terrible. And there's these parts during the loading screens where your character is giving exposition.
Mm-hmm.
He's just like giving exposition for the story, mostly saying stuff you already know just from his perspective, which is supposed to be your perspective, so you really shouldn't have to hear it. And I hate his fucking voice. I skip that all the time. I even said I'm doing gameplay videos because I already started that way long ago when I played the demo on live.
Yeah. Back in the olden days when James was going to do it and you pissed him off because you did it first.
Yeah, well, bitch please. Anyways, so yeah, now I'm actually continuing. I've actually got 2 videos done now, so they'll be coming up very soon. Pay attention to the site for that. And yeah, so, yeah, the mouse syncing is terrible. I cannot stand the voice of my fucking character. I skip him every chance I get. It's like, skip, skip, let me skip. Please load up faster so I can skip. I gotta say, surprisingly, for it not being that graphically a difficult game, it was a bit tough on my video card before I got the new drivers. Once I got the new drivers, it was fine. And actually, oddly enough, if I go into low quality, it staggers so badly. But if I'm in high quality, smooth. She's like, I can't keep up with low quality graphics.
Oh, man. The only reason I could think that would happen is because it's kind of like Dance Dance Revolution in a way. Because, like in that game, on like the really, really fast songs, you can kind of just flail the fuck around and usually like do really, really well. But if you're on like the really slow stuff, like the really methodical pace that have like the really slow tempo, you end up like fucking up the timing a lot because you're so used to going so fast.
And yeah, you end up jumping the gun.
Yeah.
So I guess that's what my video card does when it encounters low graphics quality. So yeah. I had to boost up the graphics quality, and that fixed it.
Low graphics on Bobby One's video card accounts for the same, like, is kind of has the same effect as playing a really slow song in DDR.
But yeah, it's a fun game. I gotta say, I think the creature design could be a little bit better. And the controller support, while still good, was a little bit better on live. There's a bit of a delay for some of the things, like jumping.
Okay.
And there was this one point early on. Now, at this point, I was staggering. And this isn't in my video because I was just playing up to where I was already in my videos. This was back when I was staggering a lot, though, so that might have had something to do with it. Where there's this point where you have to pound on the X key repeatedly to tear this gate down, and it wouldn't work. So I had to pull out my keyboard and pound on the E key instead.
Oh, man.
Otherwise, though, yeah, it's a good game. I like it. The story's been pretty good so far.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'm mainly just kind of... I'm guessing the reason I'm actually holding off playing it is because I'm actually kind of a pussy and the game looks kind of scary.
It really isn't. I've played a lot of scary games and it is not nearly as scary as any of them. For example, I play Amnesia.
Yeah.
And Amnesia terrifies me. Metro doesn't. You've got a gun, you shoot the things.
Oh, I thought it didn't terrify you anymore because you realize the death has no consequence.
I said that makes it less terrifying, and we've talked about this on the Games Podcast before, but it still terrifies me. I even though I'm like, death has no consequence, I don't want to fucking die. Like, really, the easiest way to progress in Amnesia would be to just run at the monster every time it shows up. Run at it, let it kill you, get it over with. It'd be so much quicker than hiding from it, running away from it. Run up to it, let it kill you, it's over. But actually, recently I started a custom story, Abduction, which I'm in the middle of doing the Let Me Play That For Yous of, which actually there's a part that I progressed in that is now going to be missing. But it actually respawned creatures sometimes. So that strategy doesn't always work.
Mm. Yeah.
But yeah, no, Metro 2033 is not scary. The things show up, you shoot them. It's like dealing with any enemy in a shooter where they hit you instead of shooting you. They are really annoying, though, for, like, going behind you all the time. They'll just run past you and then hit you.
Yeah.
Or show up in really weird places.
Anyway, yeah.
But yeah, it's a fun game. I enjoy it. The accuracy on the guns is terrible on purpose. I thought it was a good touch, but also somewhat annoying.
Okay.
But anyways, I guess moving on from Metro 2033, Resident Evil 5.
Oh, yes. What do you think of Resident Evil 5?
I enjoy it.
I did not.
I've heard a lot of complaints about it, but I enjoy it myself. The one issue I had was I was playing on an HDTV without the HD plugged in. So it was in standard definition. So the aiming reticle was really hard to see. And ammo conservation is a real important thing.
Yeah, now, it's one of the reasons why I'm not really a fan of Resident Evil games. Like, Resident Evil 4, when I first played it on, the PS2, I really didn't like it. But then when I played it on the Wii, I actually did really like it because I could actually see where the fuck I was aiming.
But yeah, the two ways in which I was lucky, one, I was playing on someone else's profile. Uh-huh. And that... So the guns were upgraded a bit more, although I was using pistol only because I was being the ammo pack mule. Mm-hmm. Now, Kaz, her profile, she has unlocked unlimited ammo for the shotgun. So that makes things a lot easier. We tried to stay realistic, like she would use her pistol more often, or I would still, of course, contribute because you still need both people contributing to the killing, but if we got in a tight spot, spam with the shotgun.
Yeah, and you know, fuck realism. That's a Capcom game. Capcom games don't deal in realism.
Well, like, you have to deal with stuff like ammo conservation, but you can also upgrade your pistol to have a 100-round magazine. 100 fucking rounds. That thing would be longer than the actual barrel of the pistol.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
It would weigh so much, and how do you reload it?
Magic.
With a magazine that long. Of course, the magazine stays the same size in the game, but... For some reason, it must use Time Lord technology because it can hold 100 bullets.
Yeah, the clip is actually just a tesseract. You just pull it out and you just see it like constantly folding in on itself, and it looks real weird. You just slide in your gun and everything works fine.
Anyways, yeah, so Resident Evil 5, I enjoyed it. The storyline, I'm not that familiar with Resident Evil, but I can follow it at least.
Yeah. Umbrella's doing evil shit because evil.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah, which I have, I've honestly been trying to figure out what the fuck, Umbrella's plan is. Like, they're a company. Their plan should be profit.
Actually, at this point, I believe it's supposed to be that Umbrella has been disbanded, or quote-unquote disbanded, as far as the characters know, and it's actually terrorists have gotten a hold on some of the shit that Umbrella made.
Yeah, but then Wesker shows up, I think.
Probably.
Because he's fucking Wesker.
Fucking Wesker.
Yeah. I actually just watched the fifth Resident Evil movie.
I haven't watched past 3.
They just get stupider and stupider.
I know. I'm aware.
But I still love them. Coming soon, Resident Evil Month.
Everyone said that 5 was an improvement. I'm like, I bet you if I watch it, I will hate it.
It's fucking retarded.
Yeah. I don't trust people when they tell me shit like that. It's like, I'll make my own judgments, thank you.
But anyway, yeah, coming soon, Resident Evil Month. We need to watch those fucking movies.
So anyways, Resident Evil 5, it gets my vote of confidence. I'm probably going to try and work things out to do co-op gameplay videos of that.
Okay.
But moving on, I have one more game to talk about, which I haven't played much of, but I have started.
Okay, what is it?
Halo 4. I don't see why it would get negative criticism on the side that it does. I mean, it's kind of... I think it has done more... So, from what I've played, it has added more to the Halo franchise than Halo 3 did.
Yeah. That's pretty much what I guessed just from seeing the gameplay trailer at E3.
And yeah, I gotta say, the opening sequence is nothing like what the trailer showed.
Okay.
You don't come out and start jetpacking through a disintegrating ship. You come out... Cortana's turned on the gravity. You have to run around the ship shooting things.
Of course it was Halo.
And then you fire a missile at a Covenant ship. And then Unicron starts eating you.
What?
Yeah, there's this planet. It's metal. This thing opens up that looks like the Meth of Unicron. And then it starts eating the ships in Covenant and yours alike.
Is the planet voiced by Orson Welles?
So far it doesn't have a voice, but one can hope.
Yes. Then Galvatron shows up.
Well, there are mechs in Halo 4.
Yeah, there are.
I mean, they're not quite Transformers, but it's a step in the right direction.
Yeah, does one of them turn into a Walther P-38?
Once again, we can
hope. With a stock extender and a scope.
Scopes on pistols in Halo is not new. The Halo 1 pistol is back.
No, I mean an actual like scope, not just you click the right stick in there and you zoom in with a crosshair. Because pistols.
Once again, we can hope.
Yeah, I'm just remembering the fucking Transformers movie.
So yeah, a few things I find strange about the Halo 4 storyline, though, is you're starting off exactly where Halo 3 left off.
Mm-hmm.
On the same ship, with the same equipment. But it's all changed. Everything looks different.
Yeah.
The assault rifle is actually pretty standard, but it fires differently. It no longer, like, sprays a whole bunch of bullets. It's more like... It's more of a steady rate of fire with heavier sounding bullets.
Okay.
It's a much more effective weapon. The battle rifle, it's no longer a 3-shot burst. It is now a single shot. And instead of having a round scope and a round reticle, everything's square now. So it's got a square scope. You see through a square reticle.
What's the point of that?
Okay, it's interesting that you decided to give it a new look, but have you thought of explaining within the continuity the new looks for things? I mean, with Halo 2, they had an excuse to give everything a new look. Time has passed, you've gone back to Earth, new equipment could be rolled out. Halo 3, same thing, but with this, there's no opportunity for Chief to get new equipment.
Maybe Cortana was just automatically updating his firmware or something. And just,
actually, and they mention a firmware.
Look at the new gun.
They mention a firmware update. Cortana says she updates her firmware, and that's why your HUD looks different.
Okay.
And that's also why your controls are different, because God forbid a Halo game use the same controls as the last one.
Yeah, seriously. Like every single game, one of the buttons does five of the buttons do something different.
Okay, in this one, A is jump, Y is switch weapons, X is reload, left stick is sprint, yes, sprint.
Yes, I know.
B is crouch, and it's a toggle crouch, not a hold crouch. Right stick is aim, and left and right on the D-pads, which is between your grenades, which are thrown with the left trigger, right trigger is shoot, right bumper is melee.
Okay, well,
I don't know what the left bumper does.
Actually, that's kind of standard.
It's very similar to Reach. There are a couple differences, I think, but not many.
Yeah, that's pretty much the one of the last game that I played.
Yeah, which is probably Reach, but I'm used to Halo 3.
Ah.
Which is quite a bit different.
Yeah, it's like... it was like left bumper to reload, X to use equipment or something.
Yeah, and now I'm growing accustomed to the controls now, but, how many times did I run up to an elite and try and melee them and end up crouching? It's like, I'm going to kill you! Oh, look, I'm staring up your ass. This is real intimidating, isn't it?
Yeah. Your prostate seems a bit swollen. It's like, you're supposed to be that size. Oh, okay. Oh, God!
But yeah, it seems either these Covenant are speaking a different language or your translator is broken. Which I kind of like, because you've no longer got the grunts speaking in their silly voices that the UNSC decided to give them. They're no longer little clowns. They sound like little devils now.
They're not Ewoks.
They make gross noises. Not gross. They make disturbing noises. It's the demon, run away!
Yeah, it just got retarded with them.
Yeah, you're no longer shooting the heads of the Lollipop Guild and having them burst out in confetti. Trying to say.
You can probably find the Grunt birthday skull in there somewhere.
Yeah, but then at least you're shooting, enemies and their heads are exploding in confetti. Not the Lollipop Guild.
What? Those things are fucking... The Lollipop Guild is fucking creepy.
they're still not intimidating, though. They end up running away or suiciding at you, and you just kill them with one melee hit or a bullet to the head.
They're grunts. What do you expect?
Yeah. So far, I haven't come across any intimidating elites, and no brutes. No brutes so far. I'm guessing this is a faction of the Covenant that hasn't allowed them fully in yet, because that happened around the time of the elites betraying.
Okay.
And this is supposed to be a faction of the Covenant that has been, you know, lost and doesn't know all of what happened and doesn't know that they're not supposed to be killing you anymore. I'm guessing they also don't know what a Spartan is.
Yeah, probably.
Which I figure has to be some sort of an advantage.
Yeah. Disadvantage for them, definitely, but advantage for you.
Graphics-wise, the one thing I want to say is the biggest bother of the changes of looks of things, Chief's armor has changed.
Yep.
While he was in cryo-sleep.
Yeah, firmware update.
You can't change that in fucking firmware!
Yeah, you can't just go into settings and change the wallpaper. Maybe Cortana did some redecorating while Chief was under.
Well, she changed her look, which makes perfect sense. She can do that. She's an AI. And I gotta say, I kind of like the new look of Cortana. Not because they've put less quote-unquote fabric on her, because she's an AI. She doesn't have anything under the blackness that covers her.
Yeah, she's a virtual... Yeah, she's a virtual projection of a... She's a virtual projection.
Yeah, so. And... Now, I'm sure she, like... Since she controls her own image, she... wants Chief pretty bad, so she wishes herself a vagina.
She's like Weebo from Flubber.
Oh god, I get that reference.
For those who don't know, Weebo was artificial intelligence in Flubber, and then she made herself a holographic image to try to fuck Robin Williams.
Anyways, so movies. Yeah. So yeah, her new look, other than, you know, they tried to cover her less, you know, fan service. Her face is not as much designed to be hot for people as it is designed to be human.
Okay.
One thing bothers me, though, she's got a bit of an overbite, or a bit of a buck tooth thing going on. You see her teeth all the time. Although, I have such mixed feelings. Like, it humanizes her. Hmm. It makes her seem like a person. But her teeth are just always fucking there. The fuck does she even need them for? Their teeth. Anyways, there's obviously a romance subplot going on with Chief and Cortana of, like, his goal at where I'm currently playing is he's landed on this Covenant planet. His goal is to save Cortana. To go back to Earth to get Halsey to fix her.
Yeah, it's kind of... Yeah, they've been through some shit together.
Yes, and they've got quite a... They're either, like, the best friends ever, or they're in the most awkward relationship ever of she's a computer, and he can never, ever do anything with her.
Well, it is the future.
And she has been, well, she kind of goes inside his mind.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they could set up some sort of virtual reality thing.
Yeah, just put Chief in, like, one of the, just get the Tron gun, zap into the virtual world.
I'm pretty sure he'd still wear his helmet, though.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Helmet's pretty much standard. Because isn't he, like, ginger under there?
Yes.
Like, really pasty and ginger?
Yeah, he's also pretty young. He's not as young as, like, say, the Spartans you saw in Forward Unto Dawn, because he's had a few years, but...
Yeah, he would need to keep that helmet on, because otherwise...
He was in cryo for 4 years after being in service for 4. He would have been, I believe they're 16 when they go into active duty, so he's 20. Technically 24, but not really.
Okay. Physically 20, actually 24.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So,
physically he's younger than me.
Yeah, physically he's my age.
So... What was I saying?
Something about virtual reality and fucking Cortana.
Okay. Right, that he's a pasty ginger. Imagine Sheamus. If you watch WWE at all, or if you're even aware of the WWE, Sheamus. That's Master Chief. And if they ever make a movie, I want Sheamus to play him.
Oh God! Can you just imagine that? Just, it just all as he takes off his helmet, and all of a sudden, like horn, the helmet turns into Hornswoggle. Just with a fucking shillelagh.
But anyways, so one thing I gotta say is graphically, oh my God, it looks awesome.
Yeah, 343 has done some really great things with the engine in that game.
Like, everyone was impressed with Halo 3, but still, people's mouths had no depth, they still didn't really look like people, they still looked kind of boxy.
Yeah, half the time textures were missing.
There were points, there was this point, like, when it went into the first cutscene where it's like, showing the process of making a Spartan, and it's... And actually, that might have been Master Chief that we see as a kid, but we're not sure if it's him or just some random Spartan. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so, like, we see Halsey, and we see this kid, and at first I'm like, wow, the graphics have got really fucking good. Oh, never mind, it's a live-action sequence. Oh, wait, no, it's not! That was my exact line of thought. It looks that good. They look like people.
Yeah, it's, you gotta give it to 343, though, man. They had some shoes to fill with that, and from everything I've seen, it looks like they're filling them.
Oh, yeah, and yeah, it's made the most graphic improvements of all the games. Like, it looks so polished.
Okay. Yeah, I still need to get my hands on that game.
Yeah, I'm just borrowing it because Kaz is waiting for some additions to it to actually play it. She's all about the online playing, and they don't have the game mode she wants yet.
Oh. Is it zombies?
Yeah, it's probably zombies.
Yeah, probably.
But yeah, anyways, so yeah, gameplay-wise, it's also really good. Like, the levels have a flow to it. There's actually a scene where you're running through groups of Living Covenant, and they're trying to survive overshooting you. Because, like, the ship's being ripped apart, your ship's being eaten by Unicron, and they're just, like, running to try and survive. Of course, if I come close to any of them, I just bash them upside the head to kill them anyways, but they're not trying to shoot me, they're just like, I want to live.
Okay.
So, yeah. Halo 4. It's good.
Okay.
It's not just another Halo game. It is actually many improvements upon the previous Halo games.
Okay. anything else?
No, that's actually it for what I've been playing.
Okay, on to news. So, on a recent anime podcast, we listened to that. Then we talked about Project Versus J, which was a teaser image that was released showing an image of Goku from Dragon Ball, Luffy from One Piece, and Toriko from Toriko. And it was a game. And now we have some more details on it. So, Project Versus J is a team battle fighting game that's going to be coming out for the PS3 and PS Vita. And it's going to be helping to mark the 45th anniversary of Weekly Jump. Weekly Jump is a weekly magazine that comes out in Japan that actually has all these characters in it. And so more characters are slated to join up the roster soon. And we're going to be seeing those coming out one by one at some point, or maybe in like chunks every once in a while. But yeah, right now the roster is Luffy, Toriko, and Goku. And yeah, they've released two images so far, one of Goku doing a Kamehameha, and one of Toriko punching Luffy in the face.
So yeah. The one thing is, we're getting a cross-anime fighting game, which is awesome.
Yeah. And while it is only cross-anime from one publisher, it's only from Weekly Jump stuff, but it's still pretty cool.
And they are a pretty big publisher. They have a lot of the popular ones.
Yeah, so we can expect, like, Ichigo from Bleach, Naruto from Naruto.
Yeah.
A bunch of other ones.
So there will be some good characters that we could do some fights with and just do videos of that instead of the battle cast.
Yeah, and looking at like the images they have, it looks pretty good. Like, just looking at Luffy's straw hat looks amazing.
That's exactly what you're here to judge it by, is Luffy's straw hat.
Oh yeah, definitely. I'm gonna judge this game very harshly on the straw hat physics. Well, no, seriously, the game actually does look really good. We don't actually get to see much of the actual characters themselves, like in terms of faces or anything. And while the ground texture does look kind of janky, the characters themselves look pretty good. Like the clothing, they have a nice texture to them. The skin, it looks kind of like skin. Yeah, I'm...
So, does it go for the whole trying to be more realistic style, or is it going for the whole cel-shaded, this looks like anime look?
It looks like they're going for the more realistic. Yeah.
I could say one thing that tends to be a dangerous move for anime fighting games, but I hope it works out well for them.
Like with the teasers that was released, we did see what their faces looked like rendered, and they did still look like anime characters.
Okay.
So it just kind of be anime characters with realistic textures, I guess.
All right, that can't be too bad then.
Yeah.
And you'll have to excuse me, I actually have to go for about 10 seconds.
Okay. So while
next piece of news.
Yeah, so Dead Space 3 is going to be having Kinect support, specifically Kinect's voice command functionality. With this functionality, you'll be able to use voice commands to heal, reload your weapons, attack, find your partner in both single player and multiplayer. The game will not be using any like motion controls with Kinect; it'll just specifically be voice stuff. So there's that. Dead Space 3 is going to be coming out February 5th for the 360, PS3, and PC, I believe.
They're putting Kinect support on that. You know, they were talking about doing that for Skyrim, but we haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, it's weird.
You're supposed to be able to drag and shout, and and yeah.
Oh man.
Where's that? I want to do that. I don't have a Kinect, but I know someone who has one, and I could, you know, just play Skyrim at their place and just fusro da.
Yeah. So we move on to a piece of news. Square Enix has officially announced the Hitman HD trilogy, which is coming out in stores early next year.
And that consists of?
It consists of Hitman Contracts, Hitman 2, Silent Assassin, and Hitman Blood Money.
Awesome.
Yeah, so the bundle will be coming out on 360 and PS3 on January 29th, and it'll cost you $40.
And now, are those all, like, re-rendered or remade to be HD, or?
They're all HD. They're all HD updates.
Okay, HD updates. That'd be pretty cool. I think that'd be worth $40. For sure.
Yeah, there's also a premium edition for 360 players, which comes with the game and an art book.
Ooh, art book.
Yeah, so, you know, if you're into art.
Yeah, I wouldn't buy the art book, but $40 for those three games, HD remade, sounds really good.
Yeah. Like, my main experience with Hitman games has been Hitman 2, and it was, I beat the first level and I was like, fuck, this is too hard, I suck at this.
Yeah, they're very difficult games, for sure.
Yeah, but now that I've kind of gotten more into stealth-type games, I might try this out.
Well, as Yahtzee puts it, they're very good at having and encouraging the stealth element without totally fucking up your entire gameplay if you don't follow it.
Yeah, but I was looking around a bunch of games, and the Hitman Contracts, like the first game, apparently is not very good.
Yeah, it was the series really took off around Blood Money,
yeah.
But perhaps they fixed some of the issues with the HD remake.
Maybe. So, moving on to our next piece of news. The Last of Us has competitive multiplayer.
Interesting.
Yeah, so in a recent post on the PlayStation blog, Artie Meyer, who is the community strategist at Naughty Dog, he revealed some of the pre-order bonuses that are coming out for The Last of Us. One of them is the Sights and Sounds pack, which, when you pre-order it, it gets you the soundtrack, some avatar stuff, and some cross-media bar skins. And the other is a survival pack, which gives you a bunch of multiplayer shit, like bonus XP, a melee attack booster, and a bunch of customizable stuff. So Meyer didn't give any details on the multiplayer specifically, he was saying they'll eventually talk about it. But all I can really ask about it is, why?
I don't know that much about that game, but like, it doesn't look like the type of game that would have good competitive multiplayer.
No, like, this game is, from everything I've seen of it, like, I've been looking into this game a lot, but it has a huge story focus, and it seems like it'd be the perfect thing for a co-op gameplay, but it doesn't have co-op, it has competitive.
Yeah, that doesn't seem like a great move.
It's really bizarre why they put this in there. Like, the game, from everything I've seen, the game does have some pretty good shooting stuff, but it's more about survival than shooting. Like, pretty much every encounter in the game, you can sneak your way through.
Right.
And not actually encounter anybody at all. So how would like gameplay elements that like encourage something that happens in the that would fuck, I just fucked up my own sentence. Okay, so how would a game where the gameplay can encourage really stealthy approaches work in a just balls out competitive multiplayer mode?
It really doesn't. The closest thing that's come to doing that is has got to be Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, but that was stealth gameplay within a multiplayer, which is all focused on stealth. This is not that.
So it's stealth gameplay in a game in a multiplayer game mode that is focusing on shooting shit.
From what I'm guessing.
So basically, they want to take their game and ping Call of Duty onto it. It's like you get our game and Call of Duty.
It's like what they did with like Mass Effect 3, Bioshock 2, Dead Space 2. Just, hey, you know that game that's really great but doesn't really work in multiplayer? Here's a multiplayer of it.
Yeah, and the multiplayer isn't. It's not even like the same game for those games. It's just something entirely different.
Yeah, totally. Yes, but anyway, keeping on The Last of Us train with the next piece of news. So something that's kind of been becoming a thing recently has been the box art for games. This kind of like all sprang out from Bioshock Infinite's box art and how it was just too generic shooter bro-y. And the other thing that got people's attention, I guess, is the cover art for The Last of Us. Specifically, the positioning of the characters on it. So on the cover of The Last of Us, Ellie, the little girl who's essentially Ellen Page, but not really, is in the foreground while the character you play as, Joel, is in the background. And some people, like publishers of the game or something, they actually tried to get Naughty Dog to switch the characters around so that Ellie was in the background of the cover.
Which kind of seems to make sense.
Yeah, but I don't really know why, because Ellie, she is a big part of this game. She's kind of your reason there's a game.
Okay, well, then I guess if it's a story-based game and the character is storyline important, then why not have them in the foreground?
Yeah, and so in a recent interview with VG247, Ashley Johnson, who is the voice actress who plays Ellie, gave her thoughts as to why we don't see a lot of women on the cover video game boxes that aren't overly sexualized. Because Ellie's kind of there with a rifle. And plus, she's 14.
Yeah, you don't really want to overly sexualize a 14-year-old.
This isn't Japan. But anyway, so Ashley sent her review, interview. I feel like they don't put women on covers because they're afraid that it won't sell. It's all gamers really know, and I don't want to be sexist by any means. But I get the feeling, generally, that they think games won't sell as well with women on the cover compared to some badass dude in the front.
It's kind of truth.
A bit, yeah. I never really actually paid attention to game covers before. Unless I own them. Like, even with Mass Effect 3, like, I actually have the cover flipped around so that the femship's on the cover.
Yeah. Well, it's awesome that they made that an option.
Yeah, because I'm playing as femship. Yeah, game cover art, I don't really actually look at it until I buy the game.
I'm usually the same unless, you know, it's thrown in my face somehow. Like, if I'm at a convention and it's like a big poster for whatever Halo game is usually coming out.
Neil Druckmann, who's the creative director for Last of Us, agreed with that sentiment and actually said that Naughty Dog was asked to move Ellie to the background, so that Joel will be the focus of the cover. And according to Druckmann, everyone at Naughty Dog flat out refused to do that.
Good.
Yeah.
Stick to your guns.
Yeah.
Don't bend like certain other game developers who released DLC with a different ending because players didn't like the ending.
Yeah. Yeah, so anyway, moving on to next piece of news. The recent DLC pack that was released for Assassin's Creed 3 may wipe your save.
And that would piss me off to no end.
Yeah. So anyway, someone on the Ubisoft forums said that he downloaded the Briggsby's DLC, which I believe is the Hidden Secrets pack. And then they loaded the save to play it. When he loaded the save, he had no money, was starting from the Animus training, the main mission progress was 0%, and his overall completion rating went from 85% to 45%.
Ouch.
Yeah, and he was the only one affected. Multiple people have reported this issue on both the Xbox 360 and the PS3.
So no one is safe.
Yeah. And so Ubisoft, someone from Ubisoft, posted on the thread, just a quick heads up, we're able to reproduce this issue at the studio and are working on a fix slash workaround. From what we can tell, the problem seems to be rare and should generally only affect a small number of players. That said, we're taking the speedy and complete resolution of this very seriously. Avoiding this bug. Do not load your Assassin's Creed 3 game while the DLC is downloading in the background. It appears to be the key to triggering this bug. You can do anything else you want to do, just don't load up your save game and play it while the DLC is downloading.
Okay, well that wouldn't be too hard for people to do.
Yeah. So moving on to our next piece of news. I'm not sure, have we already talked about the Phantom Pain?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I know we talked about it on like something, on like the, I believe, Anything Cast?
Possibly?
Yeah. Anyway, so with the VGAs happened, which was what happened a while ago, a trailer was released for The Phantom Pain. We didn't really know much about it. It was being developed by a new developer, Moby Dick Studio, and it just showed some insane shit in it. It was a guy who was in a hospital who like had lost an eye and like lost a hand, as a bunch of like soldiers were coming in and killing him over the hospital, like burning it down. And then we saw like a guy in a flaming unicorn, and then a giant flame whale burst out of the ground and ate the camera. It was fucking weird. Then some people started looking at this, and noticed some things. Like, for example, the developer Moby Dick Studio doesn't actually exist. Like, people have been looking around for it; they haven't been able to find anything except the homepage, except the website, and their homepage is just a picture. And both the gallery pages are coming soon, and their About Us page had this to say. Moby Dick Studio is a game developing company operating out of Stockholm, Sweden. Moby Dick Studio was founded by CEO Joakim Mogren, it's J-O-A-K-I-M, I don't know how to pronounce that in Sweden, who after years of working for a major American developer, brought together people out of various game studios from around the Scandinavian area to start something new. Our goal is to deliver an uncompromising, exciting, and touching game experience to people all around the globe. We will shortly be disclosing information regarding our first major release. So, interesting thing. Joachim, which is something, is actually, I have to pronounce this, is actually an anagram for Kojima. It's in Hideo Kojima, the creator of Metal Gear. Yeah, and so some people over on NeoGAF started compiling a list of commonalities between this trailer and past MGS games. There have been some similar symbolic imagery, similar character designs, the fact that the trailer focuses on a guy that looks exactly like Snake, and at the end of the trailer, I actually saw Psycho Mantis. Or at least the character I believe to be Psycho Mantis.
So pretty much they're being very, they're trying, well...
They're being subtle about it, but if you know what you're looking for, you can find it.
They're being subtle enough that, like, they're not saying it outright, but they know their fans will know.
Yes.
They're leaving clues.
Yeah. In fact, the biggest clue is, so in the Phantom Pain, like, title card, there are a bunch of, like, notches and lines jutting off of a logo. It turns out, if you use that exact same font with, like, the exact same, if you use the same font as that, Metal Gear Solid 5 fits in perfectly to all those slots. So, you know, there's that.
So yeah, Metal Gear Solid 5, it's going to have a flame whale.
Yeah. Because, you know, mechs.
And they're going to take away Snake's hand.
Yeah. Because, you know, mechs.
It all makes sense, man.
Yeah. I've never played a Metal Gear game.
He could be dead and in hell. He even ponders that himself in the trailer.
Yeah, maybe.
Anyway. Of course, he doesn't ponder it out loud. It's all done with
text.
Writing on text, because I guess they didn't want to have the character speak.
Yeah, because they wanted to just hear him go, okay.
That, and I don't think they wanted to reveal that he was Snake.
Yeah. Well, they could have, like, done some fucked up shit. Like, you know, he if he was in an accident, they could have fucked up his throat.
That's true, I guess.
Yeah. Like he had the bandages over his eye. You could see blood still coming through the bandages. He'd lost a fucking hand, so it's entirely possible that something happened to his throat. So anyway, we've got another piece of news from the Video Game Awards, and our final piece of news for today. Dark Souls is getting a sequel.
I've never played Dark Souls.
Yeah, so Dark Souls is a spiritual successor to Demon Souls. And those are both games that take the old school style approach of being hard as balls.
Old school.
Yeah. Balls.
Old school balls.
Yeah. Balls of steel. Yeah, so the game was revealed in a trailer, which had Bones walking, a dragon, some guy who looked like, and a couple guys who looked like some characters from Alice Madness Returns. And then, following the VGAs, a press release was released about giving some more details on the game. So one thing that caught people's eye was the creative director on the project. So Hidetaka Miyazaki, who is the director on both Demon's Souls and Dark Souls, would not be acting as director for this game. He'd be acting as a supervisor, while Tomohiro Shibuya, who's from FromSoftware, who's the guy who's making this game, he has been taking over the directing job. So the game will be having a new story, a new storyline, a new hero, a new unfamiliar setting, quote, epic battles with gruesome enemies, a revamped server-based multiplayer mode that hopes to, quote, put a distinct Dark Souls 2 twist on the concept of playing with others. So yeah, the Dark Souls, like Dark Souls and Demon Souls, have always had some kind of multiplayer functionality in the fact that you were always online when playing those games.
Right.
But the only way you can actually interact with people is writing out like notes on the ground that are based on like predetermined like text options. It's like you pretty much say, "Watch out for the pit ahead." You can't really just type anything you wanted in there.
Oh.
So maybe they'll actually have some like interaction between the players or something. But you never know.
Adding interaction would be good. Even just improving that previous system.
Yeah. So anyway, we have no word on a release date yet, but the game will be coming out for PS3, 360, and PC. So that does it for news. On to new releases. So coming out this week, the week of December 17th, we have Street Fighter Cross Mega Man, which came out December 17th. You can get that on the PC for free. I believe it's also on Mac, possibly. Don't quote me on that, but I know it's on PC. It may be on Mac. I don't know. Maybe coming out on Xbox Live Marketplace today, the 18th, we have Kinect Party, which looks kind of awesome.
What exactly is Kinect Party?
So, it's kind of a sequel to Double Fine's Kinect Happy Action Theater, where it's just you have a bunch of activities to do, and you just fuck around with the Kinect. That's pretty much it. There is no like actual goal. There is no like need for like precise movement. It's just flail the fuck around. Something awesome will happen. In fact, one of the awesome things is a dubstep mode.
Oh.
Yeah, like what? So it's just basically a one dubstep track. It only lasts like a minute, but it loops really well. So you'll just be walking around in like the pre-drop stuff, just walking around. But then like the movement on the video will actually be stuttery a bit, so it actually kind of look like a dubstep music video. And then when the drop hits, everything just goes fucking insane. Like everyone turns into a robot with like lightning shooting out of your fingertips, and you just all of a sudden get into like the you just turn. Of them, like the environment turns into space when you're going to warp speed in Star Wars. And that's it. It's just you walk around in some like dubstep looking thing, and then the drop hits and you just turn to robots with lightning fingers.
Hell, I think it's about time dubstep had a video game.
Yeah, there's also a bit where you like hold out your hand and then it like builds castles, and then once you build those castles you then turn to a dragon and destroy the castles.
That would be really fun.
Yeah, the thing with the Double Fine is they don't make like really specific Kinect games. They just kind of fuck around with Kinect and then find some fun way to paint up their fucking around with it.
Yeah, that's interesting enough. I mean, it's just, you've got this peripheral and you can just fuck around with it and do some fun things. You don't have to have, you know, a specific gameplay to do. You don't have to have a game that's not on rails, but is actually on rails.
Yeah, like that, like, with the first game, they came out with the thing of, we want to, like, I'm pretty sure Tim Schafer, when he came up with the idea for this game, it was like, I was trying to, like, my, like, kid who's, like, five was trying to use a Kinect, and I had, like, it was really difficult to get him to stand there and actually do everything they need to do with Kinect. So I decided, you know what, let's just make a game where you just, like, have the adult stand up for a second, turn on all play mode, and just have the kid flail around.
Yeah, and that's definitely the way you want to do it with younger kids. And
yeah. And there's actually, there's also another really fun mode in there. So in the first, like, in Happy Action Theater, what you could do was there was a mode where you could just kind of stand there, they would take a picture of you, and then you're able to move around, but your picture would still stand there, and it would still, like, register as 3D space. So you'd be able to, like, stand there and, like take a picture of yourself, like, hugging yourself, or take a picture of yourself sitting on a couch and then have yourself rising up from the couch. Like, sleeping 4 feet above your covers. You'd be able to do a bit where you actually would be able to take a picture of yourself and then have your head poking out of your own chest.
So all sorts of creepy, disturbing-looking shit.
Yeah, but then they did a different thing with this one, where you're actually able to record like a little like 2-second video of yourself doing something, and then record another 2-second video of yourself reacting to what you did. And again, it all registers in 3D space, so you'd be able to film a video of yourself uppercutting yourself.
Yeah, if you could do that with longer segments, I would just film a bunch of videos of me beating the shit out of myself.
No, it's not really longer videos. It's like really short little clips. You can't really change how long it is, but Double Fine is doing some pretty cool stuff with Kinect. Yeah, pretty much like the best Kinect developers right now are, from what I understand, Double Fine, Twisted Pixel, and Harmonix. Those are kind of the ones that are doing like the big things with Kinect that everyone's talking about. Well, at least that I'm talking about, because they all look awesome. like with Double Fine, they're doing like Happy Action Theater, and he also did the Sesame Street game a while ago. Then with Twitch Pixel, they did the Gunstringer, which is like an on-rail shooting game. But then it also released like the Wavy Tube Man Chronicles, where it was essentially Mad Dog McCree but with Kinect and time travel. Like it was that game was actually developed in conjunction with Troma Films. And so it's like one of those wavy tube men, like wacky wavy inflatable arm flailing tube men. Like got his hands on a time machine developed by Lloyd Kaufman, and then was going back in time and fucking everything up for this town.
And it's a wacky waving inflatable arm flailing tube man.
Yes, in a car.
In a car.
Yes.
Sounds like the greatest game ever made.
It's fucking awesome. And then Harmonix are obviously for Dance Central, which is one of the few, which when I saw that game, I was like, Kinect may not be all bad. So yeah, and then nothing else much coming out this week. Something coming out next week. Nothing, really. We had like Super Mario Bros. Lost Levels, Mega Man, and Fluidity Spin Cycle coming out for the Brick of Shitware. And then Field Goal Contest, Reaction Rally, and Prize Drive for Xbox Live Marketplace Kinect. Next week is Christmas. Nothing comes out on Christmas.
Nothing ever comes out on Christmas, because it's like, it's already been sold. So, like, yeah. there's no point on having shit come out on Christmas.
Yeah, it's not really no point. Well, that's going to do it for this week. Thank you all for joining us. As always, you can follow us on Twitter. You can follow us at DeathStoreProds. I am at Deadman_DDProds, and we have at Bobiwan. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/DeathStoreProds. Subscribe to us on YouTube at youtube.com/DeathStoreProdsVids for myself, and youtube.com/Bobiwan for Bobiwan. And subscribe to us on iTunes. Leave us some reviews. Let us know what you want to see more of, less of, etc. So this week on the website, we're going to be having the Comic Book Podcast tomorrow, on Wednesday, because we didn't have it on Wednesday last week, so we're going to be doing it this week. Then on Thursday, we're going to be having the Anime Club supplement. We already have the anime. We're going to have the anime podcast as well as the Anime Club supplement. This week, we're going to be watching the first episode of Blood Sea. And then Russ will be putting up personal issues this week. I'm going to be talking about the one-shot issue Retrovirus. And also going to be having the Punchatron's Aimless Wandering coming up this week. And then on Friday, we're going to be having the final commentary track. We recorded the one, but this Friday, we're going to be having the commentary track for Eclipse coming out as part of Twilight Month.
Which is what makes us responsible for ending the world!
Yes. And then, so we're not having anything cast this week, right?
No, because Christmas.
Yeah. And you know what? Because Christmas, no podcast next week. Fuck it, I don't care.
Week off!
Yeah, we're still going to post the commentary track for Breaking Dawn to end off Twilight Month, but no other podcast that week. Because we need a week off, and plus, if we actually did post podcast that week, it would end up fucking up the numbering of everything.
Yeah.
So yeah, no podcast next week, except for the commentary track, but I'll still be posting articles and videos. Because I have nothing better to do. I'm already at home for Christmas, so fuck it.
I must travel great distances to the lands without internet.
Yes. So anyway, until all that stuff, I'm the Dead Man.
I'm Bobby Wan.
We will see you guys next time.